The word sanctuary does not occur in the book of Deuteronomy. One chapter refers to it as the tabernacle of the congregation, chapter 31, verses 14 and 15. We have traced the history of the sanctuary from the time that it was erected through the period of Israel's sojourn in the wilderness. From Acts 7:45, we learn that the tribes of Israel carried it with them into the promised land. In the book of Joshua, it is called the house of God, or tabernacle. And we learn that it was set up at Shiloh, Joshua 9:23, chapter 18, verse 1, chapter 19, verse 51, and Jeremiah 7:12. It is called the Lord's tabernacle in Joshua 22:19. It is called the sanctuary of the Lord in Joshua 24:26. In the book of Judges, it is simply called the house of God, located at Shiloh, Judges 18:31. Chapter 20, verse 18, 26, and verse 31, and chapter 21, verse 2. In 1 Samuel, it is termed the house of the Lord, chapter 1, verses 7 and 24, and chapter 3, verse 15. In chapters 1, 9, and 3, 3, it is called the temple of the Lord. In chapter 2, 32, God calls it my habitation, or tabernacle, margin. It still abode in Shiloh, chapter 4, 4. God forsakes the sanctuary. For the gross wickedness of the priests and people, God forsook his habitation and gave his glory, the ark of his testament, into the hands of the enemy, the Philistines. Psalm 78, 60 and 62, Jeremiah 7, 12 to 14, and 1 Samuel 4. It does not appear that after the ark of God was taken from the tabernacle at Shiloh, and God there forsook his habitation, that his glory or the ark of his covenant ever returned to that building. The other sacred vessels remained with the tabernacle, which in the days of Saul seems to have been located at Nob, and in the days of David at Gibeon. See 1 Chronicles 16:39, chapter 21, verses 29 and 30. 1 Kings 3:4 and 2 Chronicles 1:3. And here we leave it for the present, to follow the ark. The ark was taken by the Philistines and kept in their land 7 months, in which time they were smitten with sore plagues, and Dagon, their god, twice fell before it. They then returned it to Israel, to Beth Shemesh. At this place 50,000 of Israel were smitten for looking into the ark. 1 Samuel 4, 5, and 6. From thence it was removed to Kirjath-Jearim, to the house of Abinadab, where it abode 20 years. 1 Samuel 7, 1 and 2. In this period it is said that all Israel lamented after the Lord. From this place it was removed to the house of Obed-Edom, where it abode 3 months. 2 Samuel 6, 1 to 11, and 1 Chronicles 13. From this place David removed it to his own city, Jerusalem, and placed it in a tabernacle which he had pitched, 2 Samuel 6, 12-17, and 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and chapter 16, 1. It was at this time when the Lord had given David rest from all his enemies, and he dwelt securely in his own house, that the habitation of his God came before his mind. David desires to build a glorious sanctuary. The situation of God's house came into the mind of David, and he desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Acts 7:46 and Psalm 132:1-5. He set this matter before Nathan the prophet, who said to him, "Do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee." But that night God charged Nathan to say to David, "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in." 1 Chronicles 17:1-4. 2 Samuel 7, 1-5. This was because David had been a man of war and had shed blood abundantly. But God promised that Solomon, his son, should build the house. 1 Chronicles 22:7-10. Then David proceeded to make great preparation for the building. Chapters 22 and 29. The place where the angel of the Lord appeared to David at the time when the plague was stayed, viz., the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, upon Mount Moriah, which was near to Mount Zion, was the place of God's habitation. See Psalm 78, verses 68 and 69, and Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14. And here, like high places, God's sanctuary was built. 1 Corinthians 29:1. Solomon and the princes charged to build the sanctuary. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Chapter 22, verse 19. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Chapter 28, verse 10. Then David gave to Solomon explicit directions respecting the building of the sanctuary. Verses 11 to 21. A full account of the erection of this glorious sanctuary may be read in 1 Kings chapters 6 and 7 and 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and chapter 4. It occupied 7 years and 6 months building, and when finished was of wonderful magnificence. It principally differed from the tabernacle in being an enlargement of that plan, and in being a permanent instead of a temporary building. The vessels of the sanctuary were also increased in size and number. The tabernacle gives place to the temple. Everything being finished in the temple of the Lord, and all Israel assembled at its dedication, we read as follows. And they brought up the ark of the Lord, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. Even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. 1 Kings 8, 4 and 6. The tabernacle which had been at Gibeah for a long while was, as we have here read, brought up to the temple of the Lord, and the sacred vessels and the priesthood were transferred to that most glorious sanctuary. The ark, which had for some time been kept at Jerusalem, was carried into the most holy place, into the temple. And now the habitation for the God of Jacob is complete. God takes possession of the sanctuary. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, The Lord said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in for ever. 1 Kings 8, 10-13. The Shekinah, or visible glory of God, which had dwelt in the tabernacle, has now passed into the temple, and that temple is thenceforth the sanctuary of the Lord. The temple was a pattern of the true sanctuary. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. 1 Chronicles 28:11-13 and 19. Thou hast commanded me, Solomon, to build a temple upon thy holy mount, and an altar in the city wherein thou dwellest, a resemblance of the holy tabernacle which thou hast prepared from the beginning. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 9, verse 8. The patterns of things in the heavens, the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. Hebrews 9:23-24. The history of the sanctuary is stated very fully in the books of Kings and in 2 Chronicles. But we can only quote those texts in which it is called the sanctuary. In 1 Chronicles 9:29, we read of the instruments of the sanctuary, referring either to the tabernacle or the temple. In 1 Chronicles 24:5, we read of the governors of the sanctuary, or house of God. The psalmist prays that God would send help from the sanctuary. Psalms 20, verse 2. He lifted up his hands toward the oracle of thy sanctuary. Psalm 28, 2, margin. See 1 Kings 6, 19 and 20. He calls upon the saints to worship the Lord in his glorious sanctuary. Psalm 29, verse 2, margin. He prays to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Psalm 63, 2. He speaks of the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. Psalm 68, 24 and 29. In Psalm 78, 54, he styles the land of Canaan the border of the sanctuary. And in verses 68 and 69, he testifies that God built his sanctuary like high palaces at Mount Zion in Judah. He went into the sanctuary of God and saw the end of the wicked. Psalm 73:17. He testifies that thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Psalm 77:13. He predicts the future desolation of God's temple or sanctuary. Psalm 74 verses 3 and 7 and Psalm 79 verse 1. In Psalm 96 verse 6, he declares that strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And in verse 9, margin, he says, O worship the Lord in the glorious sanctuary. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Psalm 134, 1 and 2. Praise God in his sanctuary. Psalm 150, verse 1. From the period in which the Psalms were written, we pass down in the history of the kings of Judah to Jehoshaphat. In prayer, he states that God gave the land of Canaan to the people of Israel, and they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 7 and 8. And in verse 9, he quotes the words used at the dedication of the temple. 1 Kings 8, 33 to 39. After this, we read that Uzziah, king of Judah, being lifted up with pride, went into the temple to burn incense. And the priests ordered him to go out of the sanctuary. 2 Chronicles 26, 16 to 18. Still later, we read that Hezekiah offered a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. 2 Chronicles 29, 21. And he called upon all Israel to yield themselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary. And he prays for those who were not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. 2 Chronicles 30, verses 8 and 19. About this time, God says by Isaiah, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Isaiah 43:28. Next, Zephaniah complains that her prophets are lied and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Zephaniah 3:4. After this, Ezekiel says, Thou hast defiled my sanctuary. Ezekiel 5:11 and chapter 8, verse 6. And in his view of the men with the slaughtering weapons, they are charged to begin at my sanctuary, and they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Ezekiel 9:9. And in chapter 23, verse 38 and 39, he says, Moreover, this they have done unto me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the day, and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. And in chapter 24, verse 21, God says, I will profane my sanctuary. God forsakes his sanctuary. But go ye now unto my place which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not, therefore will I do unto this house which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. Jeremiah 7:12-14 and chapter 26, verse 6. And I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. Jeremiah 7:12-14 and chapter 26, verse 6. What did God do to the sanctuary at Shiloh? When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle at Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. Psalm 78:59-61. Then when God told the people that he would do to the temple as he had done to the tabernacle at Shiloh, it was a solemn declaration that he would forsake it. Ezekiel 8:6. That this prediction was accomplished we shall now show. The sanctuary destroyed. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. 2 Chronicles 36:16-19. The predictions of Asaph, of Isaiah, and of Ezekiel were now verified. The heathen then entered into the sanctuaries, the holies of the Lord's house. Jeremiah 51:51. The heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. Lamentations 1:10. And the Lord cast off his altar, and abhorred his sanctuary, and the priest and the prophet were slain in the sanctuary, and the stones of the sanctuary were poured out in the top of the street. Lamentations 2:7-20 and chapter 4:1. In this time of their dispersion and of their sanctuary's desolation, God promises to be to them as a little sanctuary. Ezekiel 11:16 and Isaiah 8:14. The sanctuary thus destroyed lay desolate till the reign of the kingdom of Persia. 2 Chronicles 36:19-23, Ezra 1:1-3, and Isaiah 44:28. It was near the close of the 70 years' captivity that Daniel prayed, "Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate." Daniel 9:2-17. Ezekiel offers to Israel a sanctuary. It was 14 years after the sanctuary had been destroyed that God gave Ezekiel the pattern of another to show to the house of Israel, chapters 40-48. This building consisted of two holy places, chapter 41, and the most holy place was of the same size with that in the temple of Solomon, verse 4, and 1 Kings 6:19-20. To this building the word sanctuary is applied in the following texts: Ezekiel 41:21-23, chapter 42:20, chapter 43:21, chapter 44:1, and verse 5. Verses 7 and 8 refer to Solomon's temple, and verses 9, 11, 15, 16, and 27, chapter 45:2, 3, 4, and 18, chapter 47:12, and chapter 48:8, 10, and 21. It was offered to the house of Israel then in captivity on this condition, that they should be ashamed of their iniquities and put them away. If they did this, God would cause this building to be established and would cause the 12 tribes to return. Chapter 40:4. Chapter 43:10-11, chapter 44:5-8, chapter 47:13-33, and chapter 48. But the house of Israel was not at all ashamed, for when the decree for Israel's restoration went forth, all Israel could go up to the land where God's abundant blessing was promised. See the decree of Cyrus in 2 Chronicles 36, verses 22 and 23, and Ezra 1, chapters 1 to 4, and chapter 7, verse 13. But the 10 tribes slighted the offer of Cyrus, as well as the promised blessings of God. In the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, with a portion of the tribe of Levi, and a few others were all that went up. Ezra 1, 5, chapter 7, verse 7, and chapter 8, verse 15. Thus the house of Israel rejected the gracious offer of the Lord, and slighted the inestimable blessings which God would have given them. Ezekiel 47 and 48. Hence this sanctuary was never erected, but that this prophecy does not belong to the future reign of Christ and his saints, the following facts demonstrate. Number 1. The prince that shall reign over God's people Israel forever is none other than Jesus Christ. There is to be but one prince and shepherd that shall be the king of Israel in the glorified state, and that one is Jesus, Luke 1, 32 and 33, Ezekiel 37, verses 22 and 24, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, and Micah 5, verse 2. But the prince here spoken of by Ezekiel is not Christ, but a poor, frail mortal. For number 1, he is commanded to offer a bullock as a sin offering for himself, Ezekiel 45, 22. But Jesus Christ is himself the great sin offering for the world, according to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Number 2, he was to offer all manner of offerings for himself, Ezekiel 46, 1 to 8. But Jesus Christ caused all this to cease at his death. See Daniel 9, 27. Number 3, God says to these princes, take away your exactions from my people, Ezekiel 46, 9. But when Christ reigns, there will be nothing oppressive, for the officers will be at peace, and the exactors righteous, Isaiah 60, verses 17 to 19. Number 4, and this prince is to have sons and servants to whom, if he will, he may give an inheritance. But that which he gives to his servants will return to the prince in the year of Jubilee, Ezekiel 46, 16 and 17. And he is forbidden to oppress the people, verse 18. Surely it would be blasphemous to apply this to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, Ezekiel is not predicting the future reign of Christ over the house of Israel. Number 2. Christ says the children of this world, or age, marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be counted worthy to obtain that world, or age, and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, Luke 20 and Luke 35. Now hear Ezekiel, neither shall they, God's priests, take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before, Ezekiel 44:22. In the prediction of Christ respecting that age or world to come, he positively affirms that there shall be no marrying or giving in marriage there. But in Ezekiel we find the Lord's priests marrying, and having intimations even that divorce and death are not unknown. Therefore, it is evident that Ezekiel does not refer to the age to come. Certain it is that had those priests been counted worthy to obtain that world, they would not be represented as marrying in it. And this too in the promised land, the very heart of the future kingdom. Number 3. And Christ adds, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels. Luke 20, verse 36. And Paul testifies that at the last trump, this mortal shall put on immortality, and death shall be swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 54. But Ezekiel has deaths, even in the families of God's priests, and they themselves defiled by attending their burials and obliged to offer for themselves a sin offering. See Ezekiel 44:25-27. Are such persons equal to the angels? Are they where they can die no more? Surely they are not. then it is demonstrated that Ezekiel does not refer to the world or age to come. That the sanctuary, priesthood, and offerings with the accompanying blessings would have been realized in the Mosaic dispensation had the 12 tribes of Israel accepted the proffered boon, we will now show. Number 1. It was to be fulfilled while the circumcision was in force, Ezekiel 44:9. That was abolished at the first advent, Galatians 5:2, chapter 6, verse 12, and Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Number 2. It was while divorce was allowed, Ezekiel 44:22. But that is now done away, Matthew 5:31 and 32, chapter 19, verses 8 and 9. Number 3. The distinction between meats, clean and unclean, is recognized, Ezekiel 44:23 and 31. But no such distinction is now recognized by the Bible, Romans 14. Number 4. Sacrifice, offerings, burnt offerings, and sin offerings of bulls and goats were then in force, Ezekiel 46. But they are not now acceptable to God. Number 5. The feasts and the jubilee were then in force, Ezekiel 45, verses 21 to 25, and chapter 46, verses 9, 11, and 17. But they were nailed to the cross, Colossians 2, 6. The Levitical priesthood was then in force, Ezekiel 40, verse 46, and 44, verse 15. But the priesthood of Melchizedek, which passeth not to another, has taken its place, Hebrews 5-9. Number 7. The middle wall of partition then existed, as all these ordinances prove, as well as the acknowledged distinction between the seed of the house of Israel and the stranger, Ezekiel 44, verse 22, and Ezekiel 47, verse 22. But it is now broken down, Ephesians 2. But we leave the sanctuary offered to the 12 tribes, that we may follow the history of Judah and Benjamin. The sanctuary rebuilt. Cyrus, the king of Persia, in the first year of his reign, put forth a decree for the restoration of God's sanctuary, which had so long been in ruins, Ezra 1:1-4. And in this decree he not only gave permission to the whole house of Israel to go up to the city of their fathers, where God had chosen to place his name, but he actually provided help for those who needed aid to go up. And yet 10 of the 12 tribes chose to remain in their iniquity and dwell with the heathen. But we learn in verse 5 that the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites and a few others went up. The vessels of God's house, which had been in Satan's sanctuary at Babylon, were delivered to them to carry up to the temple of God, which they were to rebuild at Jerusalem. And in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, with Zerubbabel for their governor, and Jeshua for their high priest, they laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, Ezra 3:8-10. After many serious hindrances, it was completed in the sixth year of Darius, its building having occupied a period of 20 years. Ezra 6:15. The decree from which the 2300 days are dated did not go forth until the seventh year of the grandson of Darius, so that the sanctuary was in existence when that period commenced. Ezra 7. This temple of Zerubbabel was but the temple of Solomon rebuilt, as we may learn from Ezra 5:11, though it seems to have been larger than that building, Ezra 6:3-4, 1 Kings 6:2. Hence it was but a continuance of the pattern of the true, which Solomon had erected. And thus we understand Paul's language in Hebrews 9 as referring to these buildings, which as a whole make up the sanctuary of the first covenant, when he pronounces that sanctuary a figure or pattern of the true. While Zerubbabel was building the Lord's house, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah encouraged the builders, Ezra 5:1 and chapter 6, verse 14. Haggai promised that though it were not as rich in silver and gold as was the first house, yet the glory of this latter house should be greater than of the former, as the desire of all nations would come to it. Haggai chapter 2. God dwelt in this sanctuary. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. Mine house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 1:16. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Zechariah 2:10. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. Matthew 23:21. Nehemiah calls this building the sanctuary, and declares that we will not forsake the house of our God. Chapter 10:39. While God's house lay in ruins, Daniel prayed that God would cause his face to shine upon his sanctuary that was desolate. In answer to his prayer, the angel Gabriel is sent to inform him that at the end of the 69 weeks, from the going forth of the decree to restore and to build Jerusalem, the Messiah would come and would finally be cut off. And after this, the city and the sanctuary, which we have now seen rebuilt, would be destroyed and never again be rebuilt, but left in ruins till the consummation. Daniel 9. At the end of the 69 weeks, AD 27, the Messiah the Prince came and began to preach. Mark 1:15. Israel proceeded to finish the transgression for which God would cut them off from being his people by rejecting the Messiah. Daniel 9:24, John 1:11, Matthew 23:32, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 15 and 16.